Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Let's go to Dan Borowski, who's standing by with some Eagle fans that haven't been to bed in probably 2 days.
Yeah, so here I am with Seven. Seven and his family. Yeah. Guys,
yes.
This guy's one of the ones that you're going to want to talk to. Seven, how long you been here, Seven?
We've been here since 1 p.m.
1 p.m.
Yesterday.
Yesterday. So you been were you the first ones on this entire side?
Yes.
Yeah, so what made you come down here at 1 p.m. yesterday?
Because we bleed green!
So what's this win mean for you, the Super Bowl win, sir?
Hey, just know it's going to be another one coming soon. We might go for a two-peat.
Oh, is this a dynasty? Start of a dynasty?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
After this.
Hey, back in the studio, any questions for a guy that's been here since 1 p.m. yesterday?
How do your toes and your fingers feel?
Let me show you. Uh-oh. I came prepared, baby.
Look at this guy.
Oh, he's holding a hot bag.
Look
nice.
At this.
Nice. Look at that. Nice.
And look at this. I'm going to... Oh, we got
more?
Is there another?
There's a Jason Kelce fan in the back doing a chant.
Yeah.
I got a Jason Kelce jersey on, guys, today.
Yeah. Nice.
And you know what? Later on, I'm also going to have... Wow, I'm losing my camera.
There
it is.
Yeah.
Later on, I'm also going to have some fur as well. But as you can see here, Seven has his kids here. It looks like... It's his nephew.
Guy. I like
all
it.
Green.
Kelly Green.
We're all family.
Yeah.
All family here.
There we
one
go.
More. One more Eagles chant. E!
Wow.
Very nice. Camaraderie is high here, guys. Back to you at the studio. Thanks for having me.
All right, Dan Borowski. Thank you very much.
Great job.
How about that? 1 p.m. yesterday.
Now, for those listening, because Dan has to remember, be descriptive, because not everybody can see us on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a sea of green, more Kelly Green Eagles jerseys than the traditional green or the old school teal green.
Yep.
You see, when you were looking at Dan Borowski, a sea of fans behind him, hundreds of fans already assembled, and we are at the foot of the art museum steps.
Yep.
And so the view as you look up is all green. They have the art museum, which of course is iconic here in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
and the big columns. And then you see they've lit it up in green, and they have a huge eagle. They've really done a beautiful job as the sun rises on Philadelphia.
Yeah, the backdrop behind you is very good. I'm starting to see the blue skies behind you, Dawn. It's looking good.
It?
Yeah, beautiful. By the way, if there was ever a day that you were thinking about going over to YouTube, it's like, hey, let me check that out. Today's the day. YouTube.com/at1210 WPHT, because we have all the video for as long as we can. We don't know what the cell service is going to be like later in the day, but at least for this morning, we'll have all the video here. YouTube.com/at1210 WPHT. Remember to hit the like and subscribe button while you're there.
Yep.
Dawn with the beautiful, I mean, what a location you have. My God.
This is great.
Tommy McDonald. I mean,
I know.
Tommy's like the master.
He
you
is.
Know, we've got
he
the, but it's incredible here. And the, by the way, they have all the, much like when the Pope was here last time, they have all the white chairs set up where they're going to have the party right behind me, the art museum steps and all of that. But you're right. Tommy McDonald got us. I mean, we're front row seats here. But even if, you know, if you're still coming down, and the traffic really is still, what I'm hearing, it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easy, you know, they do have parking. They've provided, they've planned for this. And the city is prepared to host 1 million people for this huge parade. Kicks off South Philadelphia 11 a.m.
Unbelievable.
I do think it's going to be more than a million.
Do you really?
I do.
Wow.
I'm thinking like a million and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
They're testing the mics right now. It sounds like I can hear them.
There you go. All right, let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:08, live on location. The great Dawn Stensland.
Yes, and good morning. D&K Appliances, D&K Appliances, sponsors Kale & Company News Live this Valentine's Day, February 14th. 32 degrees, the sun is up. The big weather story, because you can see the clear skies behind me as they're starting to do. Oh, we got the
DMX
we got the
concert.
Crowd dancing. Yeah. They're doing some chuk chuk chuk. We got D&K News sponsoring us. Right?
Oh my Lord!
Uh oh.
Yeah, we're dancing.
Don't
we're
be
dancing in the news.
A beer very soon.
Yeah, baby. Woo! This you can tell we're pumped for this party. But the breeze is the big story today because about 30-mile-an-hour wind gusts. So make sure you wear a hat. Make sure you layer up as we get ready for the party. I will say to you a serious story in response to what's happening on a national stage. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro did file a lawsuit against the Trump administration against the federal. So this is the state taking on the feds, saying that the Trump administration is illegally and unconstitutionally withholding billions of dollars in federal aid from the state that they say they're claiming here in the lawsuit had been already approved by Congress. So the interesting point of this is, remember that we had dozens of states with Democrat attorneys general. They filed the same suit. Our attorney general, which we've had him on, Dave Sunday, Republican, of course, did not join in that suit. So you have a Democrat governor now himself. He used to be the attorney general here. He filed the lawsuit. And he's saying that now they'll go through the courts. But he filed the lawsuit despite the fact that federal courts have repeatedly, you know, rejected the sweeping clause on federal funding.
Right.
Shapiro's lawyers suggesting the Trump administration continues to ignore court orders to restore access to this suspended money. So this is impacting us locally because they're, you know, as these court battles make their way through the courts, the truth is, in some cases, we've talked about this, they're judge shopping a little bit. But in the end, remember that it was the Boston, Massachusetts judge, we reported on that one,
right,
that finally the higher court judge allowed for the buyouts of those 73,000+ federal workers who are taking the buyout. So it's making its way through the courts, but our governor filing that suit.
The sheer volume of lawsuits between these state attorney generals, these governors, we have all these things, whether it's for funding or whether it's with ICE. I mean, if you try to just keep a tracker going of all of these federal judges pausing this, ruling in favor of Trump, ruling against Trump, and all of these different things that are going to work its way up the ladder, like you were just talking about, some of which could ultimately end up on the Supreme Court of the United States, your head will explode. I mean, that's pretty much what Democrats have decided to do, is to muddy everything up in the courts as a way to, you know, combat Donald Trump's efforts to, you know, put his policies into effect.
And part of this is testing the system. So it'll make its way through the courts, the lower courts.
Yep.
Maybe it goes to SCOTUS, maybe not. We'll see. But this is all, you know, I guess it's like the Sixers, you got to trust the process. In the Department of Interior's case, they're looking at the EPA, White House Office of Management and Budget. The EPA is another big one, and the Interior and Transportation Department. So we don't have comments from the Trump administration as of yet, but those are just some of their lawsuits. Just wanted to bring that local to you because we're talking a lot about DOGE on the national level. But as you can hear, we're doing some music checks. They're trying to entertain the crowd. And I should also say, you know, I'm surrounded by, you know, the platform. So all the stations nationally, but especially locally, they'll all be here. We are among the first because we're, I guess, later they're just preparing to go live as far as the parade.
Well, plus.
We start at 6 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah,
I was here by 5 because I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
But it was cool to be here in the darkness, you know, and just watch as the city wakes up, if you will. Hundreds of them, they were already here.
Are you near any of our sister stations from down the hall? Are they by you, or is that a different setup? No.
Nope. There. Nobody's here.
Wow.
It's just
wow.
me on this row.
Okay.
It's amazing. This is, by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, the shot behind you, the shot behind Dawn is amazing with the really blue skies and the art museum. It just looks
beautiful.
It's a stunning vantage point that you have there for the art museum.
Yeah.
And boy.
Thank you.
Boy, at 2 o'clock. Today, that is going to be a S show down there.
Yeah. Good luck getting home.
Yeah, exactly.
It will, but you know, and you can see the sun reflecting on the art museum as well. So as the sun is coming up, it really is incredible. And everybody is so excited to be here. I mean, that's just it. Our city, we deserve this. And for so many people here, you saw Dan interviewing all these fans.
Yep.
You know, our city just waking up to this and thinking, yeah, it's Valentine's Day and we're feeling the love for the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, you just feel it, you know?
I'm
walking around, Eagles!
I know typically in your news you talk about a lot of the crime and the shootings. And, you know, we had after the NFC Championship and winning the Super Bowl all the carnage, the destruction of property, tragedy, people doing backflips and falling, unfortunately, to their death. I hope today is a day where, yes, you know, go crazy, get nuts, yell, shout, you know, drink way too much. I just hope we can emerge from this without property destruction and tragedy. Although I feel like when you put a million people together under the consumption of alcohol, maybe that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, hopefully, here's the thing. Hopefully they, after the parade is done and all the presentations and everything, if people end up going home, which I think they will because of the cold, because of the wind, people have been out here all day, then I think that lowers the chances of what you're talking about.
Yeah, very much. All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Do you have a sponsor or anything you need to hit?
Yes, D&K.
Yes, if I could.
Yep.
Yeah, if I could, thanks. And just remember, like I said, 30-mile-an-hour wind gusts. You can see the Eagles flags blowing here. So it's not really the temperature. The temperature will be 38 to 39 degrees, bright sunny skies. It's the wind. That's what we're all talking about. And as I said, we're sponsored by D&K Appliances, family-owned and operated, offering industry-leading brands. I'm talking about Bosch, GE Profile, Speed Queen, KitchenAid, Sub-Zero, and more. And D&K Appliances, their staff, they're local experts guiding you through sales, delivery, installation, as well as service. Visit D&K Appliances in Newtown Square and Flowertown. That's Newtown Square and Flowertown. Or you can just go to dkappliances.com.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in on the conversation, the cut sheet is coming up in just about 30 minutes. Sean Farish, live from Tennessee, 1 hour from now. He'll join us in the middle of the cut sheet, and then we'll get to all of his routines, including his impersonation of Donald Trump. A lot to ask 47 about just over an hour and a half from now. I actually just got this text, Dawn, from one of our listeners, Joe, who says, if Dawn's not willing to shotgun a beer live on YouTube for the parade, at least get Borowski back on camera and have him track down a few Eagle fans that are willing to shotgun beers in honor of Kale and Company and 1210 WPHD. Woo!
Actually, I am Borowski's boss, so let me just say this. If Dan, if you want to shotgun a beer with some Eagles fans, I'm fine with it.
No!
So,
wow!
I don't know if he's listening. But, Dawn,
he's saying it's cold.
You can.
He's saying it's cold.
Well, yeah.
You know, like a hot toddy or something.
No, you shotgun a beer to warm
he's
up.
He's cold.
That'll warm him up real quick.
Yeah.
Come on, Borowski. Let's go, kid.
Borowski, get on the mic.
The boss just signed off on this.
Borowski,
they're talking
get on the mic.
About you.
Get on the
They're
mic.
Giving you, oh, I love it. They're giving you permission. What is this?
Put your headset
they're
on.
They're giving you permission. Get your headset on.
Get your Bob
they're giving
Barker
you,
microphone.
They're giving okay. you permission
yeah.
to
shotgun a beer.
Yeah, will you shotgun a beer live on YouTube, on the radio, and on the Odyssey app? After
yeah,
Greg
if I can find the beer.
Well, there's got to be. I mean, just one, you can't walk more than 5 yards. Somebody's got to have a cocktail somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. I was just showing Dawn. I said it was cold because I'm adding fur to my jacket. I'm joining the brigade, the fur brigade out
yes.
here at the stadium now myself.
Yeah. Tell somebody you'll put them on the radio and then just ask for a beer.
Yeah.
So
well, the truth
beer.
Is, they yeah. said that you're not allowed to bring. I don't know that you should do it
oh,
on camera.
There's. Oh, you know what? That's.
You know.
Am I incriminating myself,
yeah.
Greg?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it on camera.
All right, don't.
I'm,
okay.
I'm
abort.
I'm
abort
being your
now, how about if I were to pour into a solo cup and say I'm chugging a water?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Wink, wink.
I like that.
But I'm being your attorney, though. I don't want you to. You know.
Smart kid.
There see, Dawn, the voice of reason. I like it.
Yes, indeed.
By the way, if you want to see all this, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. It's all there. I see they're testing mics.
Yes, they are.
You guys hear this very excited counting that's going on out
yeah.
here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to this.
Yeah, fascinating content.
Interactive.
What?
Fascinating content.
What? What? What?
Chris says on Twitter, I haven't seen this much fur, in reference to Dawn Stensland, since Marjorie Taylor Greene showed up for a State of the Union address. Oh, nice work, Chris.
Gotta stay warm, baby.
Yes, indeed. All right, 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. We've talked this morning about the Department of Education with Linda McMahon and also inflation and the economy in light of the numbers coming out for January.
Can I play one more,
sure.
Phil? Can you do cut 14 here? I just wanted to play this because Bernie Sanders asked Linda McMahon about the pay for teachers. He's like, should they make at least $60,000 a year? Roll this, Phil.
Would you agree with me? Support my legislation that says no teacher in America should earn at least $60,000 a year.
Well, certainly the pay to teachers is up to the states where those teachers reside. I do believe we should pay our teachers fairly. They spend so much time with our students, and they should be well compensated for their
job. Paying them fairly, nobody in the world will disagree with you. I mean, the question is, if teaching is a noble profession, if teaching is an important profession,
you know,
should we be paying them salaries commensurate with the value that they of the work that they are doing? So I'm asking you a simple question. Would you recommend to states, as the leader of education in America, that it teachers at least make $60,000 a year?
I would certainly recommend to states that teachers be paid what is commensurate with the kinds of jobs that are part of their states.
I mean, I look at it this way. I mean, I'm all for merit-based compensation. If a teacher is deserving of $85,000, $100,000, whatever it might be, I don't know why there needs to be a floor. And again, it's not apples to apples, right? I mean, every school district is different. You know, inner city salary versus wealthy suburban school districts out in townships and, you know, in the suburbs, in the country. And so I don't know that there's ever going to be a uniform number that makes sense. But what I am all in favor of is, you know, if you have a master's or you have a doctorate's degree, whatever it might be, or if you know your classes have historically created high GPAs and graduation rates, you know, I'm not really sure what the specific merit-based solution is, but it's just so bizarre hearing it from Bernie Sanders every time he throws a dollar amount on something, because the guy has lived a beautiful life on capitalism, yet he hates everything about capitalist societies. Dawn, I'm not sure your thoughts on what we should do with teaching and salaries.
Well, it is kind of a joke, though, that he and all of his colleagues, they're guaranteed $174,000.
Right.
You know what I mean? So Let's take his 174, give him 60, and give all the teachers and the cops 174.
Yeah, let's pay our elected leaders based on what they actually accomplish.
Amen.
Right?
I like that legislation. Let's co-sponsor that, Stenzel.
Let's do that.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, if you're a hack and you're terrible, you're not getting 170 grand. You're getting 48,000. How's that sound?
Yep.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Harry Truman once said, anybody that goes into politics that comes out rich is likely a crook. And that phrase has rung true for many, many years now.
Yep.
855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Coming up next, we're going to have a little fun with this story. A shocking revelation going back to the 1950s. Flight attendant requirements. It has gone viral after the glamorous job description is revealed. Get ready to be offended, raging Karens out there.
Uh-oh.
We're back after this here on Kale & Company.
We need a little magic when it comes to your home. Trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has built a reputation for transforming kitchens with such precision, such professionalism and care. From custom cabinets to countertops, backsplashes to storage solutions, Kitchen Magic gets the job done fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without all the hassle. You can trust the name your neighbors have been relying on for decades, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation. Do this. Go to kitchenmagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I'm here with a very special fan that you might be able to see behind me. Brought something. First off, introduce yourself. Where are you from, sir?
Nelson Rivera, Cape May Courthouse, New Jersey.
Oh, coming up from Cape May Courthouse. And sir, you got here at what time yesterday?
9 p.m.
9 p.m. yesterday. And guys, he brought a sacrifice, would you say? Or
what is that?
What is it?
Patty the Pig.
Patty the Pig. And let's get a close-up on Patty the Pig.
Look at this.
Patty's dead.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to see this. Oh, that's a dead pig.
So we have here
a roasted pig.
It's a pig, guys. It's a pig. And you can see it has hair like Pat Mahomes. And the number, we got Patty the Pig.
God.
Patty the Pig.
Patty the Pig.
Oh, my God.
With the fans, the Eagles fans here. And Nelson, man. So what made you get this pig together and bring it out here, dude? Why the pig?
Oh, considering how bad we demolished Patty Mahomes, I thought not to
Prime up.
Yeah.
Up and Yeah, bring it to the table.
I love it, man. And as you can see, great camaraderie here. We got tons of fans. They're starting to fill in.
Wow.
Very chilly, as you can see with Dawn. And as you can see on me, I actually have my fur on as well. I've joined the Dawn Sensling crew.
Well, here's what you have to do. Borowski, you have to slice that pig open, put it on a roll, get a little coleslaw. Let's have some lunch, brother.
Bring some back for us.
I don't know. Are we eating this any point today, sir? Oh, look, he's got plates. He's got them ready to go, guys.
Oh, yes.
You know what? Maybe I will be having some of this pig. Nelson, I appreciate it, man. Thank you, sir. Thanks, guys. We'll be back with you soon.
All right, Dan, there he is. By the way, hey, just a fashion note, the Kelly green, my God, is it so much nicer than the midnight green?
Agreed.
Can Trump sign an executive order that bans midnight green and we just go back to Kelly green only? I mean, really. I know, Dawn, you've got a little midnight green in there right there, right?
Yeah, I've got the old school, you know, from the last one around. I think over the years you have every version.
Right.
There was like the turquoise infusion, and then the deep green, the forest green, the winter green.
Yep.
Now we got the Kelly green.
And it blends in perfectly with all the midnight green in the background on the arch steps. Look at this picture. I mean, Dawn, this is a Twitter profile picture for you right
it
here.
It really is. Yeah.
I mean, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, really have to thank our crew out here, Tommy McDonald, Dan Borowski is doing a great job, and Phil Almquist, by the way, managing all the video, and Greg Stocker doing the cut sheet, so great job, you guys.
Cut sheet coming up in just about 15 minutes. So this is an amazing story. You know, we talk so much about the unruly nature of flights. I mentioned a day or two ago that seat squatters have become a thing on airlines now, where people are just taking seats that they didn't pay for and refusing to get out of them, and we're having all sorts of turmoil on flights with flight attendants and people just trying to go about their business. And then, of course, you have, you know, we've talked about how, you know, back in the day in the 50s and the 60s, people would, you know, they'd wear a nice little sport coat and a shirt and a tie, and everybody was in shape. You know, it was the way, you know, society looked, you know, 50, 60 years ago. That was just really just a very appealing look. Now we're all just slobs, and we're wearing sweatshirts, myself included.
I was just going to say, what are you wearing?
And wearing a hoodie, and we've got no decorum.
None.
And this apparently went viral on social media, and I just want to read this off, and this is fascinating. So a shocking 1950s flight attendant requirement has gone viral after the glamorous job description is revealed, and Phil Almquist is actually put it up on YouTube right now.
Good job.
So hundreds of social media users reacted to a list that was posted on Reddit this week of 19 qualifications that women must have to be a stewardess in 1954 on the now defunct Chicago and Southern Airlines. Several requirements focused on candidates to have certain physical features, including their height, weight, skin, and teeth. Potential flight attendants needed to be between 100 and 120 pounds, have, quote, a good figure, slender legs, yeah, baby, nice hands,
look, yeah,
and a good carriage.
Oh, nice.
Look at this. Now, that is one ugly lady right there.
Oh,
I didn't know trans was a thing in the 50s. My God, that's a terrible picture. Now, all right, so she's relatively cute. Yeah, just keep rolling through these pictures. I didn't even know you had these pictures, Philip. See, there we go. Look at that. Dress is a little long for my liking, but we'll live with that. You know, look how big those seats were. Was that first class?
No, that's what airplanes used to look like.
Is that the right?
They became the city buses.
Yeah. Wow. All right, so there's Phil rolling through the pictures.
What's that, Dawn?
So the people got bigger and the seats got smaller.
Exactly.
That's correct.
You're 100% correct.
That is correct. So the airline also insisted that its flight attendants have the, quote, ability to carry on a lively conversation and be willing and anxious to please. Now, obviously, this triggered a lot of people out there. One lady says, willing and anxious to please, WTF. This reads like a bunch of dudes sitting around a typewriter with one of them occasionally saying, oh, and don't forget X, Y, and Z. In a surprisingly progressive turn of events, they write, hiring based on marital status, natural appearance, etc. is a fact super illegal in today's society. Several requirements also focused on their height, their skin complexion, and their teeth. I think teeth are a big component. I do not want to see a bunch of ugly teeth. Yeah, get your teeth worked on a little. You know, brush your teeth. Use some mouthwash, for God's sakes. One explained that their mother back in the 50s was required to follow a strict diet, weigh and measure themselves on a daily basis, and encouraged to smoke while she was a flight attendant in 1964 in an effort to lose weight. I don't know about you, Dawn, but I'm tired of the Fatso Society taking over the flight attendant industry. Should we go back to this, or is this sexist?
Well, that's just it. We had real cocaine in the Coke. Everybody was smoking.
Yeah.
Life was good.
Life was great. By the way, what year was this from?
This was 1954.
1954.
That is correct.
The requirements to be a stewardess in 1954. Can you put up the... Yeah, one more time. I want to see. You have to be single, right?
Okay. Let me see. Phil, can we zoom in a little bit? Or I'm going to have to switch my view because I actually want to read through these on the air. I can't actually see it with this. Let me go back to our main feed here in a second.
A lot going on here. YouTube.com/at1210WP.
I think I can see it. All right. So single dash. Does that say hot engaged?
Yeah.
Okay. Between the ages of 22 and 28.
I mean, that's just a perfect age, right?
Yes. Does that qualify as their prime? Remember we had that conversation.
Yeah, Dawn, smack him, please.
Yes. Between 5'2 and 5'5, between 100 and 120 pounds, good eyesight, good teeth, good figure.
No glasses, it says.
Does that say no glasses?
No glasses,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, see, I disagree with that. I think there are plenty of women that look unbelievably attractive with glasses on.
Not in the 50s.
Really?
Well, in the 50s.
Yeah, that's true.
Eat your carrots.
Yes. You never seen a rabbit wearing glasses, have you? Natural color of hair. Now, see, that means nothing to me. Good carriage. The ability to carry a lively conversation. Now, what a novel concept. You know, that's one of my biggest complaints as a customer out in society in the market is how many times do you pay for something and the person that's on the other end of it giving the customer service to you looks like the last thing they want to do is engage with you at their job, right?
Yes.
Now, I don't know. Maybe it's because we're all in radio and it's kind of the prerequisite for us to talk and be conversational with what we do. But there's not a bigger turnoff. I don't care if I'm at a Starbucks, a grocery store, a sneaker store, purchasing insurance, whatever it might be. If I'm like paying you for a service or goods or a product, I expect you to be relatively pleasant and somewhat knowledgeable on what I'm purchasing. Not like I'm doing you a disservice by coming up to you. We need to get back to having people that are willing to lively engage and interact with other human beings in the workplace.
It's so true. What's a carriage?
Like the undercarriage, you know, like...
we now call it a fupa. It's like,
the undercarriage. A little, you know...
This is unbelievable.
Like, I think of Cars, you know, when he talks about, like, Greg gets the reference, because Cars, the movie, when he goes, like, you mean your dirty undercarriage?
Yeah.
Like, they mean her rear, like, her rear end?
Right.
They mean the way she carries herself?
Yeah,
correct. Hey, and let me, just to wrap this up, you know, when did we get rid of the word stewardess? When did it actually become flight attendant?
No, that's it.
Does anybody know? Is that like a 90s thing, 80s thing?
No. I think it was like...
I don't even know.
The women's movement in the 60s, right?
Oh.
I mean, I could be wrong.
Okay.
But I don't think we called them stewardesses past, you know...
Yeah.
Well, like waitress. Remember?
Yeah.
So some people still say wait... Like my dad says waitress, but usually you say...
Server?
Server.
Right. I tell you what I'm going to do. Just to trigger people.
Oh, no.
The next time I fly, I'm just going to stand up and shout, hey, stewardess! I just want to see what everybody does.
And I'm like, nah, the guy's going to go, I'll be right there.
Yeah, I'll be right there.
Stewardess!
As he's got lipstick on.
Yeah.
855-839-1210 if you want to join the show. Coming up next, we will get to a Friday edition of What is on the Cut Sheet.
Woo!
Maybe some check-ins with Dan Borowski. Maybe people will be shotgunning beers, chanting the Eagles, spelling it improperly. Who knows? We are live on Super Bowl Parade Friday, Valentine's Day. Dawn and Dan down at the Art Museum steps.
Woo!
Greg and I back in our palatial, comfortable studios. Everybody got what they wanted today as we all get a world championship. Cut Sheet coming up next. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I am here on the steps of the Art Museum with a little behind-the-scenes look. As you can see, here's the stage still wrapped up to my left. Oh, my gosh, I need to learn how to control this thing. YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. Beautiful day here. And what we're doing here is I just want to give you guys a quick glance at how things look. I guess you really can't see, and I should have planned for that. Let's see if I can get up here a little bit.
Well, at least you're good on a microphone, Dan.
What'd you say?
At least you're good on the mic. Your camera skills suck, but your mic skills are solid.
I'm trying to multitask, but I'm walking here. Oh, my gosh, what are you doing? I'm losing it again, but I'm multitasking here. And as you can see, a view of the crowd. Maybe you can't see them.
No, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's a beautiful shot.
Yeah. Well, it's not working. I apologize, guys.
No, we can see it.
But here I am live. It's starting to warm up. This. Wow, look at my camera. Look at that ability.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
Hold
it's not
on.
Great.
Here we go. Here we go.
It was good for a moment.
Great radio, right?
Yeah.
Great radio. Oh, okay.
You follow me, camera guy? Yeah.
It looks like it broke the thing. You see it?
You broke
it. It's really
it.
Doing its own thing now. Oh, look, it's showing the Art Museum upside down. Right?
There you go. There's a flag. There's a blue sky.
Yeah, so live radio is always fun, guys.
It is.
Yes.
Looking at the sky, a beautiful blue sky, you see. Yeah, absolutely beautiful blue sky. But maybe we should take it back to the studio, and I'll have some great crowd members and Eagles chants coming up here before we hit Sean Farish.
All right, there we go. Dan Borowski getting it done to some extent. Dawn Stensland's now thrown on a winter hat, by the way. Getting a little chilly out there, huh?
I put two hats on. Yeah, it's just the wind. Otherwise, I don't think the temperature is not going to be the problem. It's pretty breezy out here, and I think that's a piece of it. I'm at where Tommy set us up. We're at the foot, if you will, of the Art Museum steps, right below in the shadow of Aiken's Oval. And so the crowd growing now. Mm-hmm. And I do see some people, I don't know, they're up on a stand. So the crowd is starting to grow, and the excitement is starting to grow. So the parade will kick off. It'll be 11 a.m., but that's in South Philadelphia.
Okay.
And then make its way through to here. And then we'll see if everything kicks off on time.
Uh-huh.
But they're saying 11 o'clock the parade starts. And then it'll make its way here by hopefully 1 o'clock-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll have the program.
All right. Very good. 7:49. Let's find out what Stocker has lined up for a Friday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on this Friday? It's sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians will diagnose the problem. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. That's Meineke.com. Thank you, Meineke, for sponsoring the ever-important Friday Super Bowl Parade Philadelphia Eagles edition, Valentine's Day edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. So much here. Guys, I don't know if you can see this. I have like 35 pages of cuts.
I was salivating last night when the email came out.
Yeah. So let's start here with Trump again yesterday. He was signing executive orders in the White House. That was brought to the press.
Shocking.
Right. I mean, let's bring in the press. The big question yesterday on everybody's mind was Russia, Ukraine. What did Trump give up for to get the hostage back? He's having this meeting with Vladimir Putin. What did he say? All of that kind of stuff. So let's start here with cut one, Phil, if you will. Go.
You had that major call yesterday with President Putin of Russia. President Zelensky responded today basically saying any agreements they won't accept unless they're made with Ukraine. Will Ukraine have a seat at that table for those negotiations?
Of course they would. I mean, they're part of it. We would have Ukraine, we would have Russia, and we'll have other people involved too. A lot of people, a lot of forks in this game. I'll tell you what, this is a very interesting situation, but the Ukraine war has to end. The young people are being killed at levels that nobody's seen since World War II, and it's a ridiculous war, and it has to end. We had a good talk with President Putin. I had a good talk with President Zelensky, very good talk. And somebody said, oh, I should have called Zelensky first. I don't think so. I mean, we have to find out whether or not Russia wants to make a deal. I know that Zelensky wants to make a deal because he told me that. But I now know that Russia wants to make a deal.
Did you ask Secretary Hegseth to walk back his comments yesterday saying Ukraine won't join NATO and won't go back to pre-2014 borders because those are bargaining chips you could use?
No, I didn't. Somebody told me to, but I thought his comments were good yesterday, and they're probably good today. They're a little bit softer, perhaps, but I thought his comments yesterday were pretty accurate. I don't see any way that a country in Russia's position could allow them, just in their position, could allow them to join NATO. I don't see that happening. And long before President Putin, Russia was very strong on the fact that I believe that's the reason the war started, because Biden went out and said that they could join NATO, and he shouldn't have said that. As soon as he said that, I said, you know what? You're going to have a war now, and I was right about that. This is a war that would have never happened if I were president.
You don't think it's President Biden's fault, not President Putin?
I think Biden is incompetent, and I think when he said that they could join NATO, I thought that was a very stupid thing to say. I thought when he said, well, it depends if it's a minor incursion, in other words, it's okay if Russia does a minor incursion, I thought that was a very foolish thing to say. The other thing that got it started was how badly Milley and these stupid people and bad generals, how badly they did with Afghanistan. I was going to pull out, but we were pulling out with dignity and strength.
Yeah.
And we were going to take our equipment with us and everything else. What they're doing is what they did with that. I think Putin looked at that mess and he said, wow, this is a great time. I'm going to go in. But what the Americans said, I'm not blaming Americans, but I will say what they said had a big influence on his deciding to go in. Yeah.
Big pro tip there from Donald Trump for all the men out there. Always have a strong pull-out game and take your equipment with you when you leave. Yeah, that's paramount. But, you know, there's so many reasons why I'm so excited for this to come to an end, whether it's our country's involvement, the money that we are spending and sending over to Zelensky. Obviously, I don't want to see any people being killed, whether they're Russian or Ukrainian or anywhere in between, much less American. But the one thing that I'm so looking forward to is the dumb, slanted questions, specifically from people like Caitlin Collins there, who was the one asking both of those questions. Was Zelensky involved? Like, this is a war between Russia and Ukraine, Caitlin. Do you think Vladimir Zelensky is not going to be involved in this process? He's about like 40 to 50% of the equation. Of course he is. But man, the left's ability to make sure that Ukraine is taken care of. And then it's, you know, anytime you call out this one-sided nature to it, you're like, oh, you must be why are you so pro-Russia? Are you a Putin puppet? Are you an advocate for the former Soviet Union? And I always come back and I say, no. But I also don't want America to be constantly involved in other people's conflicts. I don't want to see our soldiers sent over there. And I certainly don't want to see our cash and our weaponry sent over there. So I'm looking forward to this coming to a close. And wouldn't it be fitting, Dawn, if Trump's able to get this accomplished before we hit the 3-year anniversary, which is, I think, coming up 10 days from now?
I know. And you think of that disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, the families, the Gold Star families who've spoken out, Abby Gate. And when I, you know, when Trump is talking about that, my blood just boils because I think they would not have died. All those people would not have died that day. And that's, it's just, to say it's unacceptable is an understatement, obviously, but it just shows you that leadership and the quality of leadership is everything.
Yeah.
And that's in part, I believe, why, you know, except for the Marines, why we have in law enforcement and military these recruitments that are down. And that's why I think that Pete Hegseth is somebody who's a younger man who can appeal to young men to say, you know, not only can you as a young person trust the government when you sign up for the U.S. military, but as well their parents can trust, because we've seen too many grieving Gold Star families. And that is the truth. And I just, And that's what bothers me about some of these news reporters, that snippy, you know, snippy, snarky comments with their, you know, $12 and $20 million obnoxious salaries.
Right.
And they have no empathy. They live, they are driven around, and they have no understanding of the sacrifice that these families and these soldiers have made. So I'm, you know, just thank God it's a new day in America. But I get upset when I see these reporters and the questions, the focus that they have. It's just, they're not acceptable.
Yeah, I agree.
Going on to cut three here, speaking of Caitlin Collins, was asking, she asked a lot of questions yesterday. She was all over it. Let's start here with cut three. Go.
I think I'd like to see peace.
Do you trust President
Putin? I believe that he would like to see something happen. I trust him on this subject. I think he'd like to see something happen. I think it could have happened a long time ago. I think Biden, number one, it shouldn't have started, but it did. And now all those cities are knocked down like demolition sites. All those beautiful golden towers are knocked down. There's nothing going to replace them. But much more importantly, you lost millions of people. A lot of soldiers, but you lost millions of people. When they knock down those cities and they're all laying down on the side, they're lying down just in ashes and all crumbled up concrete. They literally look like a world-class demolition site. And many of them, almost all of them, but many of them. And this should have been done by Biden years ago. This should have never been allowed to happen. I know he's a friend of yours. He's a friend of CNN. That's why nobody watches CNN anymore, because they have no credibility. Okay, who else?
Well, I tell you, his disdain for her and her questions is just remarkable. And it's justified, there's no doubt. Because and look, I will. Yeah, she's very yippity and snippy and, boy, you know,
disrespectful.
But I will give her this ounce of credit. She's a pistol. She's not afraid to mix it up. Whether I like her questions, whether they're slanted, whether I think she's talented hosting a show, all of that is really irrelevant. I will give her credit. She is to Trump what Ducey is to the Democrat administration. You think?
No, Ducey was not snarky or disrespectful.
True.
And even Biden, on many instances, said, "Peter, I like you." I mean, he knew how to balance that. To have, yes, the personality, he had a sense of humor, and it was funny sometimes, but I did not witness Ducey as disrespectful to Biden.
That's true.
But you can hear the disrespect when she's saying things. She could say it differently, but it's like a snot.
Yeah.
It's just annoying.
It is.
And it's unprofessional. It's disrespectful.
It's very elitist out of her.
Yes.
By the way, we'll get back to this in 1 second, but let's go over to Dan Borowski, who is standing by with Rainbow.
Oh, Rainbow.
Dan, are you there?
My hands are freezing.
Hey,
how
guys,
are you doing?
I'm here now. I walked down the JFK a little bit. JFK, where the hell am I? I don't even know. But I'm losing my camera again, and I got guys right with me. Someone who might be taller than me. It's Rainbow.
Oh, my Lord.
Rainbow. Well, Rainbow's also standing on a chair.
Oh, okay.
But
all right.
She has a great, great sign that I thought you guys would like. So why don't you show them that sign?
Oh. We can't spell, but we can read.
Thank you.
Can't spell, but we can read. Rainbow, how you doing?
I'm great, thanks.
It's so great to have you. So what made you come down today?
I've been to every parade since 1975, starting with the Flyers. I was born right after they won. So the Flyers, the Phillies in the 80s, all the way to here now in 2025. I was here in 2018. So it's awesome to be here.
What kind of emotion were you feeling on Sunday when we won that game, that big game?
Well, I knew we were going to win. I was super confident. I missed the fourth quarter because I drove right down here to be with everybody riding in the streets.
Did you climb any poles Sunday night?
No. I'm too old for that.
You're never too old for a pole.
For Rainbow.
What's that, Dan?
I said back in the season.
Oh.
Questions for Rainbow.
All right, yes, Rainbow. I don't have any questions for you, but I do want to give you a little ELGSES chant, courtesy of our great mayor,
woo,
Jarrell Parker. So here you go, Rainbow.
ELGSES Rainbow.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Eagles chant here before we get going.
Yeah.
Give me one, Rainbow. Lead it. Lead it up. ELGLES Eagles.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, guys.
There you go. Dan Borowski with Rainbow. By the way, hearing the actual proper spelling of EAGLES, feels very odd because I swear for like 2 years now, it's remember we have not only do we have Sherelle. But we also have the lady from a year or two ago at the sports bar when the Eagles went to the first Super Bowl, and we I think we carried this from Fox 29, and she spelled it this way.
It's hard to spell.
Spellings.
It's hard to spell.
It is a tough word.
Well, according to Rainbow Sign there, we can't spell, but we can read.
That's right.
Speaking of Caitlin Collins, she asked Trump about Mitch McConnell voting against RFK Jr.
Yeah.
We'll get to RFK Jr. in a second. He was sworn in yesterday as HHS secretary, and he was also on with Laura Ingraham last night, so we have all of that. But let's first play the sound of Caitlin Collins asking about Mitch McConnell voting against, the only Republican to vote against RFK Jr. Roll it.
RFK Jr. as the next health secretary, citing conspiracy theories. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I feel sorry for Mitch, and I was one of the people that led. He wanted to go to the end, and he wanted to stay leader. He's not equipped mentally. He wasn't equipped 10 years ago mentally, in my opinion. Let the Republican Party go to hell. If I didn't come along, the Republican Party wouldn't even exist right now. Mitch McConnell never really had it. He had an ability to raise money because of his position as leader, which anybody could do. You could do it even. And that's saying a lot. The fact is that he raised money and he gave a lot of money to senators, and so he had a little loyalty based on the fact that as leader you could raise a lot of money. Senators would call me and they say, he wants to give me 20, 25 million. Can I take it? I'd say, take the money. Take the money. But he engendered a certain amount of, I don't even call it loyalty. He, you know, was able to get votes. But I was the one that got him to drop out of the leadership position, so he can't love me. But he's not voting against Bobby. He's voting against me, but that's all right. He endorsed me. You know, Mitch, do you know that Mitch endorsed me, right?
Well, he
you think that was easy?
What? He had polio, obviously. And
I don't know. I don't know anything about he had polio.
Please.
Are you polio?
I have no idea if he had polio. All I can tell you about him is that he shouldn't have been a leader. He knows that. He voted against Bobby. He votes against almost everything now. He's a, you know, very bitter guy. And we have a very strong party, and he's almost not even really a very powerful member. I'd say he's not a power. He's lost his power, and it's affected his vote. And, you know, it's one of those things. But in the meantime, Bobby did great, got more votes than anybody thought, and I think he's going to do phenomenally, just phenomenally in that position. And everybody else likewise did well. Not only well, they got more votes than anybody thought. Tulsi, look at how she did. She did great.
It's Trump's party. It's the party of MAGA Republicans and MAGA America. And it's never going back to the people like Mitch McConnell that, you know, I couldn't even resonate with. Like, when I was growing up, I mean, like, the Bushes and the Romneys and the Cheneys, that never resonated with me. And, you know, I'm only a Republican now because of guys like Donald Trump and what the policies and the platform and the agenda stands for and what they try to implement. But, my God, how great is that he basically said, Mitch's job is so easy, Dawn, even Caitlin Collins could do it. He obliterated her there.
Yeah, he, you know, what Trump did reference, that the war with Mitch McConnell, Mitch McConnell blames Trump for endorsing candidates that didn't win during that one run. Mm-hmm. And remember the whole Dr. Oz thing and all that. So
yep,
that's why Mitch McConnell lost the speakership and has never forgiven Trump for that. So that's part of the bad blood here. But I will say, I will give this credit to the now turtle, that we could have had Merrick Garland. That's who Obama wanted, and Mitch blocked that. And so look at what Merrick Garland has been. It was. And what it, with the weaponization of government, thank God Merrick Garland never became a Supreme Court justice. Hmm. Because that's what Obama wanted, and that was McConnell. So I'll give credit where credit's due.
Good point.
Cut 21 here, Phil. RFK Jr. sworn in as HHS secretary. This audio is a little hard to hear, but if you just want to kind of do a roll it, Phil, you can play it.
I am Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
I am Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
You solemnly swear. Holding his hand on the Bible by his wife, Cheryl Hines. I'm surprised he doesn't have his hand on a 30-year-old blonde as well. I'm assuming his children behind him.
Nice little mullet there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, some good hair. I mean, that's that Kennedy hair.
Yeah.
That's good hair.
Without any mental reservation. Without any mental reservation.
Standing by him. Standing by her man.
And that swearing on a stack of pancakes.
Faithful. That's something he's used to saying.
Not sure any of the Kennedys are faithful.
Oh, God.
Congratulations, Mr. Secretary.
So RFK Jr. sworn in as HHS Secretary. He was on with Laura Ingraham last night. Let's start here with Cut 30, if you will, Phil, talking about not having good data on the vaccination safety of the COVID shot. Roll it, Phil.
Need to know what the risk profile is for these products.
Do you think the COVID vaccine was safe and the boosters were safe? I mean, a lot of people don't talk about adverse effects.
We don't have good data on it, and that is a crime. The fact that we don't have a surveillance system that actually works. Oh, in 2010... CDC has a surveillance system called the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and it's supposed to pick up injuries. But CDC did a study of that system in 2010, and that study said, and this is a published study by CDC, that it captures less than 1% of the vaccine injuries. That's inexcusable. Congress has repeatedly, and the Institute of Medicine, the National Academy of Sciences, have repeatedly ordered CDC to put together a better vaccine.
Will you require it?
And we will do that right away.
There's rumors out there that as many as 50% of the employees.
All right, so that's Bobby Kennedy with Laura Ingraham. You know, there's many ways that you can look at this. And to me, transparency is really what matters the most for me, followed by the mandates. I want the data available. I want the ability to be an informed consumer and a smart shopper, whether it's big food, big pharma, big ag, anything that Bobby Kennedy is advocating for in that arena, I'm on board with. And, you know, I think there's so many people out there that if you look at Bobby Kennedy and where he is politically on every issue, we're probably in disagreement with him on 80 or 90% of things. But what I agree with him is on free speech for sure. The anti-censorship stuff, and everything that he's going to be doing here with Health and Human Services. And I'm not even saying I'm in complete agreement with him across the spectrum of vaccines, but one thing that can never happen again, Dawn, in my opinion, is when we have another pandemic, and we will, it's only a matter of when, not if, the forced mandates, that cannot happen again. You cannot, in the workplace, in college admissions, in the military, things like that, force people to make a choice of what goes into their body or whether or not they're going to be able to pay their mortgage at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. That to me was obnoxious.
Yeah, it was obnoxious, and it was more about control. But what RFK Jr. there talked about was interesting, because what he's saying is, you know, make sure that you have all of the data, that you do the studies, because that empowers the physicians. So that's really, I think, what he's talking about is, you know, let's say you have some kind of myocarditis in your family, which I knew somebody who did. Their teenage son, he still got vaccinated because of his issues, and they gave him the vaccine and monitored him in the doctor's office, kept him there because they had that data. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the data is critical. If they're not giving that, then they're really robbing the physicians and the patients to make those personal decisions.
Yeah. We're going to go back to Dan Borowski, who's staring at us on YouTube like he's ready to kill us. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, guys. I'm right here back on the parkway, right under the flags for Ivory Coast in Ireland. Now with a guy by the name of Tim in Warminster. And Tim pulled me aside because you said you've been on every news station doing something at some point, right? So welcome to WPHT, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, yes. Super Bowl 52 got on the news. 2023 was on the news, and I can't let it stop now. We're back, baby. Super Bowl champs. Philadelphia Eagles. Go Birds!
Yeah, brother, go Birds.
I was here about 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, nice. Okay. You got a pretty nice spot here. You're right here on the parade route. Why'd you decide on the route rather in front of the art museum here?
I got kids with me. I got my daughters with me. It's a little crazy up there. You know, I got to keep it a little PG. PG-13 at max, you know what I mean? So we got to be cool.
Guys, the environment out here is fantastic for kids. If you're listening, you're thinking about bringing your kids down, bring them down. It's going to be a moment they'll never forget, like Tim's kids over here. One sec, let's get an Eagles chant from everyone around here, guys. We get an EAG. Start it off.
E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-
that.
Good job, Dan.
Swami Mommy asked, she says, it's getting old, my disdain for RFK Jr. Okay, I'm just old enough to remember when morals mattered in the GOP. I guess it doesn't anymore.
Mm. Now it's just about making America healthy again. So you're
Greg, should we do a morality test? We're going to do a morality test for everybody in Congress. Let's do it.
Well, I remember with the religious right, morals mattering. Remember Bill Clinton and remember all that stuff? I don't know. I remember that.
You're taking a ton of guff in the chat.
Of course, because I dare step off the reservation.
Oh,
I dare think for myself.
Oh,
remember when independent thought, no matter who the people were, was celebrated? Remember those days?
Oh. Nope.
No, yeah, we don't remember that at all. Look, I'm all for. I said this at the beginning. If RFK Jr. can make us healthy and get these poisons out of our food, I'm all for 100%. And I don't care. I don't care about morals.
Right.
I really don't. I don't care about morals. I'm just saying that I remembered a time when the Conservative Party used to. That's all I'm saying.
Look, if he gets results, that's great. If he doesn't, I'll ridicule him. You know, you don't have to love Bobby Kennedy by any stretch. And, oh, by the way, let's never forget this. He was kind of bidding his... He was pretty much pimping his services, right? I mean, he could have, in many ways, been a part of the Harris campaign down the stretch. I think he was abandoned,
just like Tulsi felt abandoned as well.
Well, he was not even allowed to challenge, you know, Biden for the primary.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
About the President Trump liking Big Macs, will we be banning Big Macs?
No.
This is Cut 31, roll it. Cut 31, if you have it there. Thank you. Phil's doing a lot back
there.
Yes,
he is.
I appreciate it, buddy.
Poor guy.
Good job.
Fruit Loops at the top of the food pyramid.
What's the big, top three additives that you hope, in your role, you'll be able to basically remove from our food supply?
Well, I would say, first of all, you know, I believe in freedom of choice. If you want to eat Twinkies, you ought to be able to eat them. But you ought to know what's in them.
Amen.
So a lot of what I'm going to do is about radical transparency, about making people understand, allowing people to understand, and empower them with an understanding that if you eat that, it may seem cheap, but it's going to cost you in the long run. You're going to get diabetes, et cetera. There are certain additives. We have 10,000 additives in our food. The Europeans have 400. Many of the additives that we have are just illegal in Europe.
It's crazy.
And we need to move more and more toward the European standard.
That's not a nanny state. I'm saying what the critics are going to say. That RFK Jr. is just a new Bloomberg nanny state, which conservatives traditionally aren't. You know, President Trump likes Big Macs. We're not going to take those away, are we?
Oh, we're not going to take. That's what I'm saying. If you want to eat a Big Mac, you ought to. But you ought to. But, you know, McDonald's ought to be incentivized to use beef tallow fat when it's cooking as Big Macs, and so that they're good for people, rather than using seed oils or some other cooking oils that are actually going to probably make you sicker. And so we want to do a number of things, but not take away choice from people. Mm-hmm. The one place that I would say that we need to really change policies is in the SNAP program and food stamps and in school lunches, because there the federal government in many cases is paying for it. And we shouldn't be subsidizing people to eat poison.
Do that in conjunction with the Department of Agriculture. Brooke Rollins was also...
Amen. Amen.
Seed oils are such a big culprit. But how about the disparity, though, there? 400 additives in food in Europe versus 10,000 in the United States. It's not even close.
No, it's crazy. And it's crazy that they make food. In other words, they're making the food in one, for one country, same manufacturer, same label, and then a completely different product. That's ridiculous.
Yes, it really is.
And it just tells you that it's cheaper to make it, you know, what we're eating is cheaper. It's more expensive to make their higher quality product.
Mm-hmm.
Streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD, youtube.com/at1210WPHD. You can see Dawn and her lovely shot at the Art Museum steps. We will be out here. She will be out there all day today. Dom Giordano, Dan Borowski out there with her. They will anchor the parade coverage. Kayla and I will hang out for as long as we can, and then we'll throw it to them for their live coverage. So this is the place to be all day long. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT to watch the video or on the Odyssey app. I'm assuming we're going to hear from Sean Farish soon.
I was just sending a message to Phil about that. I think we will have him probably within the next 10 to 15 minutes.
32 here about Chuck Schumer. You know, Chuck Schumer had a lot to say about RFK Jr. What does RFK Jr. have to say about Chuck Schumer? Cut 32, Phil, go.
Does RFK possess? You know the answer. None of them.
I mean, at the top, he just gave away the ghost referencing, you know, you didn't work for the pharmaceutical companies. How dare you? So he said the quiet part out loud there.
The qualifications that Senator Schumer is talking about there are the very qualifications that got us to where we are today. These are the people who got us to be the sickest country in the world. We are 4.2% of the world's population. We buy 70% of the pharmaceutical drugs on Earth. We spend 2 to 3 times what other countries pay for health care, and we have the worst health outcomes. We literally have the sickest population in the world. Those are the people that got us there. We do need a break. We need somebody different who can come in and say, I'm going to be a disruptor. I'm not going to let the food industry and the pharmaceutical industry run health policy anymore. We're going to turn health policy over to people who are actually concerned with public health.
Are all drug company grants going to be done away with anyone on an advisory board or anyone who's connected to the federal government?
The panelists in HHS, in FDA, CDC, and NIH, there are panels that are made up of outside individuals, outside experts, who come in and set policies. They set, for example, the food triangle, you know, the food pyramid, the nutrition guidelines, the vaccine guidelines, the, you know, medical standards of care. In the past, those people, almost all of them, have severe conflicts of interest. Oh, and that's not good for our country, and we've seen what's happened. You have Fruit Loops at the top of the food pyramid.
What's the big, top?
There you go.
Bobby Kennedy is a Fruit Loop, actually. You know, when you look at the Department of Education or Health and Human Services, any of these bloated departments that have categorically failed Americans, it's just astounding that the lifers in government, the Schumers, the Pelosis, the Liz Warrens, all of these people providing resistance and pushback to Trump's selections for certain departments is astounding to me. I mean, we talked about it in the Big Take with education this morning. We spend more per pupil than any other country, yet we get, on average, the 40th best results. We are, what, 40% of Americans that are youth are on their way to childhood obesity. 70% of Americans on the verge of being pre-diabetic. Like, we are killing ourselves over stupid stuff and shopping in aisles 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, when in reality, if you shopped around the perimeter, you would live a better life. And what's the result of all of this? We create these social media influencers who talk about fat shaming and body positivity. These are the people that are trying to deny Bobby Kennedy. What we have done hasn't worked. So I don't understand the resistance, and I say that, you know, facetiously. I get the resistance. A lot of people's lives and bottom lines and wallets will be impacted by this. But my God, let's try something different. You don't have to agree with Bobby on everything. Right?
Agreed.
Like, you could, 100%. You could disagree with them on 4 out of 5 vaccines or seed oils or red dye.
Just the fact that we're having this conversation, right. I believe he's done more good by putting this conversation out there, because it's a conversation we've been scared to have for way too long, both left and right. You know what I mean? Because, you know, Laura Ingraham brought up a great point about the right, you know, with the nanny state, you know, get your hands off my cheeseburgers. Like there is a large part of society that is like that. I'm like that as well. Like, free will, like cheeseburgers should be out there. We should be able to have whatever we want to. But I want to know the ingredients that are in these things.
Is there anything that you would be on board with if he did ban, or they did ban collectively? Anything specifically, or should everything be available?
No, I just want to know exactly exactly what... I want to be able to scan something on my phone. My voice cracked there. I want to be able to scan something on my phone, and it tells me, this cheeseburger, what is in this cheeseburger? Yeah. Exactly. You know, how many this, how many that, everything. Everything should be able... All the information should be out there, and then me as a consumer will decide if I'm going to eat that or give it to my child.
I'll tell you the one thing I would love to see banned, and I've been on this for years. It never made sense to me. It never sat well with me. I want to see pharmaceutical ads banned from television.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Yeah.
Okay.
You're right there, Don. Why am I hearing
I'm
you?
Good. We were fixing the camera.
No, I'm hearing. All right, I'm hearing myself and you. Yes. Okay. How about this?
You hear me now?
Yeah. We'll cut 33 here, Phil. More from RFK Jr.
Turn health policy over to people who are actually concerned with public health.
Are all drug company grants going to be done away with anyone on an advisory board or anyone who's connected to the federal government?
The panelists in HHS, in FDA, CDC, and NIH, there are panels that are made up of outside individuals, outside experts, who come in and set policies. They set, for example, the food triangle, you know, the food pyramid, the nutrition guidelines, the vaccine guidelines, the, you know, medical standards of care. In the past, those people, almost all of them, have severe conflicts of interest. Oh, and that's not good for our country. And we've seen what's happened. You have Fruit Loops at the top of the food pyramid.
What's the big, the top?
You keep hearing about these Fruit
Loops
at the top of the...
Fruit Loops, man.
It's amazing.
Wow, whatever happened to Cocoa Crunch and all the other cereals?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, we're going to welcome in our buddy Sean Farish. He is with us now from Nashville, Tennessee. Woo! Sean Farish, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning. Doing well. I heard you guys talking about Fruit Loops, so I was wondering when the Buttigieg story was going to come out. You know? Just waiting, you know? Just wait. We know what we call him, right? You know what his nickname is? We call him Packer Pete. Right?
Mayor Pete!
Sean, by the way, I don't know if you can see this. Dawn is at the Art Museum steps in Philadelphia. We're broadcasting live.
Yes.
She's broadcasting live from the Eagles parade that is happening this afternoon, so...
I hate to break it to you, but this Super Bowl doesn't count because the mayor can't spell the name of the team. So it's null and void, unfortunately. No,
she was
congratulations
doing that just
to
for good luck, and clearly it worked.
That's right. Congratulations to the city of Philadelphia. You finally have something worth celebrating over there. Huh? That's pretty good.
I love it. I love it.
That's yes.
Good. I love bringing Sean on.
Says the Jets, the loser Jets fan.
These Jet fans.
Yeah, no, that's well, listen. Yeah. These Jets fans. You know what? You know what? All I can say is at least we're undefeated in Super Bowls. So. If it wasn't for us, by the way, if it wasn't for the Jets, because, you know, you look at, and we look at NASA, right? We know NASA very well. The Jets won the Super Bowl in January of 1969, and NASA said, well, if that could happen, we could definitely put our guys on the moon. So if it wasn't for the Jets, you know, there would have been no Russia. They would have wound up there first. Now, congratulations to – that wasn't even a game.
No,
that
it wasn't.
Was, you know, That was it was a bloodbath.
Oh,
yes,
you can't say that. Yeah, you can't
yes,
say that.
Don't say that.
Let's continue here with the cut sheet with Sean Farish. It is a Farish Friday here on 1210 WPHD, streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHD. You can see all this fun and frivolity. We'll be here all day. So make sure you get on over to YouTube and hit the like and subscribe button. TikTok, Nick, I saw you send us a story this morning about how the TikTok app is back on Google Play and Apple. Right?
Yeah, you know, my daughters were actually complaining about it because Mia had to delete her TikTok account for whatever reason a couple of days ago. And I was like, okay, well, what's the problem? She goes, well, you can't re-download it because it's not in the App Store anymore, Daddy. And, of course, I have no idea because I don't use TikTok. But apparently, now if you've been trying to get it, it's available in all of your stores again.
Amen. Well, Trump talked about that. And what's going to happen with this new, what are we calling it? Like, America is going to have an interest in it, but it's like a
stake in it.
It's like an equity.
Sovereign Wealth Fund.
Yes. Thank you, Sean.
Well, the Sovereign Wealth Fund.
Yeah, the Sovereign Wealth Fund. Thank you, guys. This is cut two, Phil.
Sovereign Wealth Fund.
Yes.
Thank you. Phil, go.
Do you have an update on the TikTok negotiations?
We have a lot of people. I have 90 days from about 2 weeks ago, right? And I'm sure it can be extended, but let's see. I don't think you'll need to. We have a lot of people interested in TikTok, and I hope to be able to make a deal. I think it would be good. You know, people have learned it's very popular, and we'll have to probably get approval from China to do it, but we have a lot of people that are interested, and a lot of people, I think China will be interested because it's to their benefit too. So I look forward to that, but we have a lot of people that are interested in TikTok, quite a few.
So, you know, it's interesting when we talk about this because we have seen, you know, the ability and the government of, you know, involvement when it pertains to social media platforms. At the end of the day, honestly, I really couldn't care less what happens to TikTok as long as I'll just say this. The only thing I do not want to see is the government with the ability, because you already know what's happening here with X. The left is trying to make it seem like Elon Musk has turned X into a state-run media platform for the Trump administration, which I don't believe it is. I still see plenty of left-wing commentary and things like that. I don't see the hate speech that people are claiming exists on X. To me, there's not much of a difference, if anything at all, from the way it used to be. Ultimately, though, at the end of the day, I don't want to see any government involvement in the moderation of content. That was the phrase we heard so much about over the last 4 years. And as long as that doesn't happen, mm-hmm. I'm good with it, however it pans out.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Sorry.
It suddenly got quiet. Stop with the
mic checks. Anybody wants to say anything, feel free to talk.
Sorry, it was kind of weird.
on money, the amount of money that they're going to raise from tariffs, Trump says this. This is cut four, Phil.
Yeah.
How much money do you think you'll raise from tariffs on an annual basis?
That's the most interesting question. I think it'll be a staggering amount. It will be the external. I call it the External Revenue Service. That was a name that was devised by a few of us, but I think it's going to be a staggering amount.
You've heard the number $1 trillion floated in meetings with senators. Is that a number you thought of?
I don't know, but already the Senate's saying, well, wait a minute. You know, they're looking at some of the numbers and they're saying, whoa, this is, look, we want to, I say America first. I say make America great again. That's what we're doing. This is, I think it's the most important thing I've signed. I've signed some very important things. Right to Try was so important. I mean, a lot of important things. Space Force, the biggest tax cuts in history. You know, this could be one of the most important things that we've ever signed.
You know, Sean, earlier this morning we talked about the economy and the inflation coming up for the month of January. And, of course, they're pinning that on Trump. The guy's been in office for January for all of 9 days. You know, and we look at these tariffs. He loves to utilize tariffs as a tool in negotiations. And it's not like, you know, you shouldn't have some level of trust in Trump because it's not his first rodeo utilizing them. He used them the first time around, and he's using them this time around. And he got what he wanted, 6 hours. 6 hours apart with Canada and Mexico a few weeks ago, getting the protection that he needed at the border. Now, again, I don't want to see tariffs in place long term because, you know, that could create more economic down spiraling out of control for us. But do you think that this is something that he will use short term and get the results he's seeking? Or is this something that could backfire on him? Because you know that the mainstream media is waiting to pounce on the, I told you so, tariffs are going to blow up in his face.
Well, tariffs are going to, you know, they can make the prices go up in the short term because we import so much. And so if we slap a tax on everything that we're importing, you know, that's that probably gets passed down to the consumer. But here's how you balance that out is you start to take away and chip away at the taxes. So I think he does want to get rid of that Internal Revenue Service, or at least lessen the punishment that the IRS levies on everybody every single year, and raise more of our money from tariffs. You know, he talks about it's time to stop taxing our citizens and enriching other countries, and it's time to start taxing other countries and enriching our citizens, right? So I think it's something that he actually does want to pursue long term, especially the way he talks about President McKinley, who was like the tariff king. There's a great, you know, it's a great way to incentivize businesses to come here and create jobs and bring all that money and bring all those jobs and bring all that wealth back into the country. So I hope that that he brings tariffs, and I hope that it stays in long term. I hope that that stays in place long term, because I'd rather be taxed on only the things that I take versus everything that I make. And I've been saying that for a while. An income tax is a tax on every last dollar that I make.
Mm-hmm.
But a tariff, essentially, when you tariff all of these goods and services, mostly products that are coming into our country that are manufactured elsewhere, that only impacts me if I buy them. So maybe it'll incentivize, you know, financial responsibility in this country. People won't be so crazy with the credit cards. Ooh, that costs a lot more than it used to. Do I need it? Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. I'd rather pay for the things that I consume
mm-hmm.
versus having to pay a flat tax or a blanket tax on every dollar that I make every year.
Yep.
I just think that's fairer. So I hope it's a long term thing.
Well, but part of it, let's just remember that what Trump has said is that we get the bad deal. In other words, everybody in the world wants to do business with us because who are we as the Americans? We've got the money and we're a bunch of gluttons.
We're suckers.
We want to shop and we want to shop now, right?
Yep.
So they lose out in the long term. And that's what Trump keeps saying.
Yep.
But we allow this. We've allowed this to happen where we get the bad deal. In other words, we let them come in. And yes, even Biden kept some of Trump's tariffs. Remember that one. But it's still not equal. It's not fair. And I think he's trying to equalize that. And by the way, what it means is all of these companies that kept shipping the jobs overseas, maybe now they're incentivized to have their company here, build it here, hire our workers.
Mm-hmm.
To make whatever it is. You know,
that's
to your
right.
point, Sean, when you said that about, you know, maybe you'll cut back on something, or maybe some company will say, well, we have no incentive now to go overseas and make
right.
this stuff in Taiwan or wherever they're doing it. Do it here.
Yep. It's no longer worth it for a company to ship their labor overseas. And think about it. If they bring their factories and they bring their plants back here, Americans are going to be building it. Americans are going to be staffing it. And then Americans are going to be patronizing that business. So it's a win-win-win all around, but it's not going to be one of those things that happens like a light switch. It's going to be a process. So short term, you know, in the short term, yeah, there may be a little bit of pain, but you got to go through that in order to have, you know, the long-term gain, short-term pain, long-term gain. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's the only thing that's dangerous about that is we're in the day and age of instant gratification. It's got to happen now.
Right.
You know, the TikTok attention span. So
Trump did kind of mention what you guys were just talking about. This is cut five here, Phil, if you will.
Well, I want to say that actually tariffs are good. Tariffs are great, actually. And the problem is we didn't charge them and everyone else did. They charged us, but we didn't charge them because we were generous or foolish or stupid or all of the above. So this is one of the biggest, I think, economic bills ever signed. I think it's probably the biggest in terms of what it represents. Now, this doesn't include what we did a few days ago with steel and aluminum. That's over and above this. Cars will be over and above this.
look at what's coming shortly. If you take a look at the chips and the various things in that world, that universe, that'll be over and above. Also, pharmaceuticals will be over and above. So those elements will be over and above. Otherwise, this is covering pretty much everything. And it's going to be great for the United States and fair for the world. I mean, it's the most fair you can do. You can, we could charge just a flat tariff, and that would be in many ways easier. But you could make a case that that wouldn't be fair to other countries. This is fair. Remember, whatever they charge, we charge. Whatever they charge us, we charge them. And they charge us nothing, we charge them nothing. And it really works out well. And we'd be very happy to have nothing and nothing. We wouldn't have any tariffs at all. But to me, it's something that I'm very proudly doing. It should have been done many, many years ago. And we're doing it now. We're doing it very late because we were very foolish as a country. And we're doing it now.
The Sharpie.
There you go. Signing the executive order.
I'll tell you what, his Sharpie budget must be millions of dollars. All the executive orders this guy is signing. You know, Don, you made a great point, and you used a great word. We're such gluttons. We really are. We're suckers. And I remember my mom used to tell me this all the time when I would say, I need this, I need that. She goes, no, you want this. You want that. You don't need this. You don't need that. Yeah. And I think as we have transitioned to a cashless society, I feel like we have kind of become almost zombies and robotic with our purchases, because we just, you know, pull out the debit card or Apple Pay. We swipe, we tap, we scan, we use the chip, insert your chip, this, you know, all the different ways. And, you know, I've been with my wife since Prohibition, and she took away my cash years ago, so I don't know what it's like. But when you start with $20 and you start handing it over, and then you're down to $8 and $4, you can kind of physically feel that. But yet when you live in this digital world where you pay on your phone, I feel like we just give it away almost unconsciously, that we're so unaware of how financially irresponsible a lot of us in society really are.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about your kids. I think that's a piece of it. It's our own fault. It's getting worse as the generations go on. One day my son said something about, he wanted to pick a fast food place. He felt like having Burger King. And my husband said, there's no Burger King around here. All of a sudden, somebody comes to the door. You know, nowadays, you can get something, whatever you want, it comes instantly, whether it's delivered by a food service, whether you want to be picked up, or whether you want Amazon to deliver it the same day or the very next day. Mm-hmm. And so everything is that, you're right, it's that instant gratification. Sean, you said that too.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we will continue the cut sheet here on a Friday, and then Sean Farish will quickly transition into 47 mode.
Uh-oh.
A lot of good stories.
That used to be a bad word. Now it's a good word.
Yeah. And it's a great number. It's maybe my favorite number these days.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
There you go. Sean Farish sticks around with us. Dawn Stensland will continue live. And maybe we'll even check back in with Dan Borowski as
we
continue.
We definitely will.
Super Bowl Parade Friday here on Kale & Company.
Piazza.
Yeah, but first we got to talk about my friends from Piazza. Piazza Premium Automobiles, really featuring the latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands. I'm talking about Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. These models have sleek new designs and innovative features powered by the very latest in technology. With thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles that are available right now across Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles always stands out. Visit them. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale & Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.